Hello and welcome back to this week's Off the Bench podcast from the Premier League. I'm Lee from FPL Family.
And I'm FPL Harry.
Well, Harry, welcome to the podcast. It's been a big weekend for you, hasn't it? A big weekend. 100 points plus in FPL, Chelsea winning 5-0 at the Bridge, and a brand new fiance. You got engaged. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, my focus was very much away from football and FPL this week, and I'll do my best to give as many insights on this podcast, but had a lovely weekend in Suffolk. The sun, for anyone who lives in England, the sun finally, after about 5 months, decided to come out and shine for us this weekend.
Yes.
And yeah, lovely weather, lovely weekend away, and then have just been with like family and friends over the past couple of days celebrating. It's been a long time coming. I'm sure she'll say we've been together for about 7.5 years. So I think she's been counting it down, and yeah, eventually we got there. But it was a very, very special weekend outside of football, of course.
Excellent, excellent. Well, listen, congratulations. And I understand the other half supports Nottingham Forest. So a good week, literally a good weekend all round. Everything went well. Everything went well. Let's talk about game week 36 and let's get stuck into the podcast. A little bit of bench jam to start us off with Son coming off your bench when Bruno missed out. So I want to pick up on that. But tell us about your game week. Game week 36, how was it for you?
Yeah, 108 points. So very happy with that. Bruno Fernandes versus Gordon versus Son versus Jackson was a very popular benching headache this week. Yes. For a lot of people. And it turns out that it didn't matter at all. And I didn't need to spend sleepless nights or moments worrying about that, when it actually just meant that Bruno Fernandes didn't feature for the first time ever due to injury in a Premier League game for Manchester United. Which,
I couldn't believe that.
I know. I was just pretty certain that he would just roll up because we've seen it so many times before. So to hear that he wasn't in the squad at all was pretty surprising. Haaland, of course, with the 42 as my captain, the sort of highest point scorer. But a couple of others, I think particularly Nicholas Jackson, really coming in the final end of the season. And as a Chelsea fan, to see Chelsea ticking like we are at the moment and to be getting points off the back of it as well. I don't actually own a Chelsea defender, and we'll talk about them during the podcast, and maybe I'm particularly looking to buy one this week. But yeah, it has to be all Chelsea, the real highlight. And then, of course, Newcastle as well, 6 from Gordon, 7 from Isak. That missed penalty from Isak with a Gordon potential assist was a little bit of a painful one on Saturday afternoon, I have to say. It could have been even better, but I cannot complain sitting here with 108 points. How about you?
Yeah, 108, very good indeed. Round of applause for that. 93 for me, so not bad, not bad. I think it's more or less kept me on par with my overall rank. So I'm sitting at about 70k now, having sort of flirted around. I've been kind of 40, 50, 60, 70 for quite a few weeks now. A couple of things on my wildcard that didn't quite go to plan. I went with Ollie Watkins on my wildcard a few weeks ago and picked him ahead of Nicholas Jackson. So there's a transfer on my wildcard, or at least a decision on my wildcard that's cost me the thick end of about 20 points, because not just did he get the 16 points this week, Jackson, but he obviously picked up some points last week as well. So that's definitely a mistake. It's definitely a mistake. But we've got to talk about him going forward, because just because that I've made that mistake doesn't mean that I should continue to make that mistake. And I'm absolutely looking at getting him in this week. But 93, all good. I actually look at my team and most have returned. Like, I had Haaland captain, same as you. Obviously, Palmer, Foden, I had Havertz in midfield, got a return as well. The bit that stung for me was the Dan Burn and the Kyle Walker clean sheets at the back, both conceding consolation goals in what were big wins for their team. So the Burn, you know, Burn conceding at Burnley, and then, you know, Walker conceding as well. Yeah, both in for two pointers when they could have had at least the six pointers. But other than that, it was okay. So 93, a small red arrow, not huge, but a small one. And we move on to game week 37 and the big double game week. And we will talk, obviously, throughout this podcast in the context of the big game week coming up, game week 37. But let's have a look back at 36 and some of the games, Harry. And because, you know, we're in your happy place, we ought to continue there, right? We ought to stay, I think, in that happy place. Let's talk about Chelsea 5, West Ham 0. We've got to talk about this. And I do want to talk about a couple of players in particular and get your thoughts and opinions on them. One of them is not Cole Palmer, by the way. I think, honestly, if you're not playing Cole Palmer or got him in your FPL team already, what you're playing at, I think for sure he has got to be up there in the conversation for most, you know, in terms of pound for pound FPL assets, he's got to be up there, right? In terms of value for this season, he's definitely, definitely going to be in a lot of FPL teams for game week 37. But there's a couple I want your opinion on. One, the aforementioned Nicholas Jackson, suddenly cooking, picked up a 16-point haul at the weekend, which equals his best ever return in fantasy. And I also want to get your opinion on Noni Madueke. And the reason I'd like your opinion on him is because he could be a great differential for anyone looking to pick up a Chelsea differential for game week 37. If you don't already have 3 Chelsea players, I thought he was sensational at the weekend and showed up really well in the stats. I, for one, will have my eye on him going into next season and looking at the Chelsea assets. If the fixtures are good from game week 1 next season, Noni Madueke, bang on radar for me. But tell me about Chelsea. Give me your thoughts then on the game.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I normally come on this podcast after we've lost and we don't get to talk about them. We either talk about us losing or we completely ignore them altogether. So to come in after a couple of big wins against Spurs midweek and then this 5-0 win that we've got here is, yeah, great. And the performances are there, not just the scorelines as well. The way that we've sort of dominated the past couple of games is something we haven't seen from a Chelsea team in what feels like quite a long time as well. Yeah. A few injuries have sort of forced us into a system and we've sort of stumbled onto a system and a lineup that suddenly is clicking and playing really well. Part of that is giving both, well, particularly Nonny Madueke, a lot more game time than maybe we've seen before. We've noticed him off the bench being pretty impressive. He's very direct. He offers that one-on-one specialist, a bit like you get with, you know, Doku at Manchester City, a player who's very good at running at people. And he wants to do that. He took on, I think it was Emerson Royale on the game on Thursday. As soon as he got the ball every time, that's all he wanted to do. And he has a great finish on him as well. He's very difficult. He's pretty physical as well. So I've been very, very impressed with him. And as you said, he's been in the back of my mind thinking about game week one next year, about what he might be priced at. And he definitely looks like he'll be cementing his place in that Chelsea team going into next season as well. So he's very cheap, under 5.5 million. If you're looking for a midfielder and you don't have triple Chelsea, he's absolutely got to be up there. As you say, I wouldn't buy him over Cole Palmer. But he's definitely, if you're looking for differentials with 2 weeks left, he's virtually no one has him in their teams at the moment. And it's not going to go up very much. Yes, there might be a few transfers in this week based off recent performances, but there are five other teams with a double that people will be using transfers on. So he's absolutely got to be up there and he looks on red hot form. And Chelsea, you know, fighting for Europe over the past few weeks and going into the final three games of the season as well. So still something to play for. We talk about teams being on the beach. And it doesn't feel like Chelsea are that way at all. We still got plenty to fight for, particularly with Manchester United dropping points last night as well. And then Nicholas Jackson as well. We've seen over the season, players like him, players like Darwin are always often thrown into the same bucket. They get a lot of chances. And we always say eventually they'll find a game where they finish them all. And he's clicking at the moment. He's really linking well. He actually plays very well when he's not running straight down the middle and he's playing off the left. He's running with the ball. He's a very good ball carrier. And we're seeing it sort of come to fruition over the past few games as well. So I only have positive things to say about them with their FPL assets. I think the positive thing about Chelsea is that game week 38 fixture as well, right? Of course, they have the double this week, but Bournemouth at home on the final day is also another benefit. But those are with my rose-tinted Chelsea goggles as a Liverpool fan. How do you see Madueke and Jackson playing at the moment?
Yeah, so, so good. Madueke owned by 0.6% of FPL managers, by the way. So you're right to say that literally no one's got him, right? So in terms of differential, I think you're probably doubling up. I agree with you. I wouldn't go there instead of Cole Palmer. I don't think you can not have Cole Palmer, right? I think you've got to have him. You know, he's not going to make a massive difference to you in terms of your, you know, your FPL team because he's so highly owned in FPL. But Madueke, 0.6% owned. I noticed he created the most amount of chances in this game week with six. And he's also up there for shots as well. He was tied second after Haaland. So he and Jackson both had seven shots this week. So that just underlines the dominance that Chelsea had at Stamford Bridge at the weekend. But Madueke in particular showing up well in the stats. So I got my eyes on him. My question is, and I guess my thinking is, where does he fit in my team is the problem, right? I've got so many good double game week assets in that midfield that I'm just not sure, unless I was really chasing in my mini leagues, where I'd go in terms of transfers out to get Madueke in. So I'm probably not going to go there, which I don't like really, because I like taking, you know, we're at that stage of the season, game week 37, 38, you want to take a few punts, right? It's nice to play the game in the last couple of weeks. And if you're looking to do that, if that's your approach, I think Madueke is definitely one to have a look at. But Jackson, I think, yeah, for sure, that is, as I said before, that is an error. I didn't get him in my wildcard a few weeks ago. Went with Ollie Watkins instead. Should have had a bit of foresight there. Should have thought, you know, Ollie Watkins, Aston Villa, despite the decent form, have got, you know, two huge games in Europe coming up. They're going to look a bit leggy, and they did against Brighton. Whereas Jackson's coming in, he's got the more games, etc. But listen, the art of FPL for me is knowing when you've made a mistake and not just sort of sitting there going, oh, well, I've made that mistake. I'm not going to go there now. For sure, I'm thinking about a transfer which looks like Watkins to Jackson for this week, going into the double and into next. Like I say, it's cost me a few points already, but that's not a reason to not get Jackson now for the double game week. And like you say, the fixtures look pretty good as well. So probably looking to get him and not Madueke. Although if you want a differential, Madueke, like I say, is good. Talk to me about the Chelsea defence. And it is worth us spending a little bit of time on Chelsea, like you said, because they are going to be top of FPL radars with that double game week and then Bournemouth at home in game week 38. So, you know, it does warrant us spending the time on this podcast talking about the Blues. Defensively, though, Petrovic in goal. I noticed Gusto potentially coming back. I think he played 7 minutes at the weekend. So does that mean he's ready for a first team start in the double game week? Those that own him certainly hope so. And elsewhere, a bit of goal threat from the likes of Badiashil and Desarsi. What do you think as a Chelsea fan defensively? Would you go there?
Yeah, I probably would. You know, the thing at the weekend is we created more XG than any other team in the league this weekend, even more than Manchester City and Newcastle. So there is a big appeal of going and using all your Chelsea slots on your attack. But as you say, there are lots of good other attackers. So we do naturally look at defensively where we've kept two clean sheets on the bounce. I do still think Petrovic is the safest way. Now, using a goalkeeper transfer at this point in the season might not be the most exciting thing to do, but I definitely feel like it's the safest way into the Chelsea defence. My issue is, we have so many fit defenders and we have seen us chop and change them every single game throughout the course of the season. We're finally finding something that adds a little bit of balance. And I don't think it's actually very good for Malagusto's prospects in the double, because we're playing a sort of back four, but with Cucurella at left back, where he inverts into midfield, sort of we see Manchester City do, we see Arsenal do with Zinchenko at times. And it means the other three, which is Thiago Silva, Chalobah, and actually sometimes a Badiashile, sometimes a Desassi, basically three centre-backs, playing as a back three a lot of the time when we have the ball. Now, you could add Gusto in at that right-back spot, but it would kind of undo all the good work that we've done over the past couple of games with Cucurella going into midfield, who's actually, put my hands up, who've been critical of him over the past couple of years, is finding a really, really good patch of form. So if I was looking to buy defensively, Petrovic would be number one. Cucurella would probably be number two at the moment, because it doesn't look like Ben Chilwell is going to be back any time before the end of the season to really be starting games. And if you needed someone cheaper, Trevor Chalobah is probably the name I'd throw out there. Again, there is a risk with Desassi, with Badiashil, with Thiago Silva as well. But he is, again, really throwing his name in the hat to be up there as a real preseason prospect for us next season. So Petrovic is just safest, and I think he'll play the remaining games. But Cucurella and Chalobah could be a little bit more exciting.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Let's move it on. We're going to stay in a happy place for this podcast, and we're going to talk about Liverpool versus Spurs. Bit of a pop quiz for you, Harry. I'd like you to name the top five players in FPL of all time that have got 200 points or more in successive seasons. I'm going to give you a bit of a head start. Eden Hazard, a player that you'll like, I'm sure.
Yeah.
He's got four seasons, successive seasons of 200 points or more. Thierry Henry also in with four. Who are the top three? We've got somebody with five, somebody with six, and now, a bit of a spoiler alert, because I've already told you what game it's from.
I wonder why he might be raising this.
Yeah, well, you've got to put it out there, right?
So it's Harry Kane.
Yes, he's in at five. Yeah, in there.
I know Mo Salah is also, I think he's top now with seven.
He is, absolutely.
And then I remember seeing the graphic and I had it on the tip of my tongue. I can't remember who was second. Is it someone predating, is it like Wayne Rooney or someone slightly older?
It's Frank Lampard, actually. It's Frank Lampard, your boy Frank Lampard from the bridge. But you're absolutely right. We've got to talk about, and that's the reason I brought this up, right? The Egyptian King. I think he's got to be up there for, you know, FPL asset of all time. Seven successive seasons of 200 points. Absolutely ridiculous. And when Liverpool versus Spurs started at the weekend, I looked at that lineup and I saw that he was back in it after the, you know, let's just call it the shenanigans from last week. And I just thought, there's no way that he's not scoring today. Like, he will get points today. Like, the way that he was just, the noise and the narrative throughout the week, he's then straight back in the team, wants to prove a point. And he did. Liverpool racing into a 4-0 lead, took their foot off the gas a little bit and then went and conceded two with Richarlison and Son getting goals. Lots to discuss, I think, from an FPL perspective on Spurs, because they've got the double game week coming up next week. Let's just quickly do Liverpool, though, because they don't. So I think a lot of FPL managers are going to be overlooking Liverpool or not getting FPL assets from Liverpool into their teams. Should we be overlooking them, Harry? I mean, two single game weeks, but, you know, Mo back in form. Maybe we should be looking.
Yeah, I think Salah's the one that, of course, if you could ever get to him, he's always a good asset, whether he has a double or a single. He's the type of player that going into game week 38 at home to Wolves, I think you are. A lot of people will be wanting him, looking to take a punt in Klopp's last game and things like that. But a lot of us don't have the money now with the likes of Fernandes in our teams, the likes of Son, the likes of Haaland, a few others in there as well. So as much as I, you know, could see a Salah return coming this weekend after, you know, the shenanigans, as you said, and him coming straight back in, I think I'm just going to have to watch it again this week away at Aston Villa, because my transfers are just much more focused elsewhere. Now, whether they should be or not is another thing. Often we see, double game weeks go well for a few players, but a lot of the players we have for the double are outscored by players with a single. And you would say Salah is one of those single game week players who has the ability to outscore those double game week players that we're buying. But that doesn't mean I won't fall into the trap of someone like a Son, someone like a Richarlison, who, you know, got the points again this weekend. Son with a goal, Richarlison with a goal and an assist. They look slightly better with him back in the team. So, well, with him coming off the bench, not starting that game, but when he came on. So I do think Liverpool look good. They're scoring goals. Defensively, they're still not quite there. So Salah is definitely one you can look at, but I still be focusing on the doublers, I think, now.
Yeah, I think I agree. I think anybody that owned Andy Robertson in FPL, fair play, a little bit of jam there, you take it. So he got subbed off just before the two goals, so he keeps the clean sheet. And of course, now goals in back-to-back games for him. So 22 points in his last two outings. So shout out to Andy Robertson. But yeah, let's move it on to Spurs then, because they're going to be dominating a lot of our thoughts, no doubt about it. Didn't look great, did they, in that first half? And certainly for the first hour or so, didn't look great. I thought that when Richarlison came on and got his first attacking returns, by the way, since game week 23, with a goal and an assist, got the assist against us, against Liverpool at the weekend. Spurs have got the two home fixtures coming up in double game week 37. I thought he changed the game. I thought Spurs looked way, way better when Son went out wide. I don't think he's a natural number nine, Son. I don't think he sort of fits that role all that well. We've seen him play well there in previous seasons, haven't we? But in certain games, I just don't think it works for them. Whereas Richarlison came on, caused Liverpool no end of trouble at the back there in terms of their centre halves, moved us around a lot, you know, hard working, created space for the likes of, you know, Kulusevski and Son that were around him. I've got Son in my team right now for the double game week. And because they've got the double coming up and it's two home fixtures, I don't see me taking him out. It'd be madness to take him out. I've got Porro as well, which also would seem madness to take out because, you know, again, double game week. But I don't see a Spurs clean sheet necessarily in that double game week. So I'm kind of relying on attacking returns from Porro, which of course we can get. He scored a few weeks ago, didn't he? But again, we talked about Madueke. Maybe Richarlison is a decent differential if you're chasing in your mini league. 6.8 million in FPL. So he's going to cost you a few of your FPL pounds, but I don't mind him. Surely he's done enough in that game. Surely he did enough when he came on against Liverpool to demonstrate to Ange and the rest of the Spurs hierarchy that he deserves a start.
Absolutely. But as you say, a lot of the issues we've got is all of those interesting picks that we want to be taken at the moment are in midfield. Most of us have Son, and using a transfer on a Son to Richarlison, A, is not something that I'd feel comfortable doing, no. And B, is not also a priority transfer at the moment. So it's finding space for Richarlison. But if you don't have a Son, if you're looking to buy one of them now, again, Richarlison could be a fantastic pick for the last few. We saw what he could do earlier on in the season when he had that run of games a little bit while Son was at the Asia Cup, and before that while they were playing together, what he's capable of doing in that Spurs team. And we're not that surprised that he gets points when he comes in and he plays up front with the likes of Brennan Johnson, with the likes of Son, Maddison, Kulusevski playing around him. So again, I absolutely love him as a shout this week and as a punt going into the double, but I just don't think I have space in my midfield when we've got the likes of Foden, we've got the likes of Palmer, Madueke, Son, De Bruyne, Gordon, who we're all looking at buying. It's just difficult to find space, but there is that sort of extra fifth midfield spot, and there's lots of people vying for that position, and Richarlison definitely puts his name in the hat for it. Defensively, though, I agree. I add to your Porro with my Vicario as well, Spurs defence. I did bench them all this week, but I don't hold out much confidence for many points between now and the end of the season. Vicario did make 8 saves in this game, so a slight boost there potentially to his points, and I'm not going to go transferring them out, as you say. Like, I'm not going to sell Porro because he has lots of routes to points, like corners, bit of open play threat as well. But it doesn't feel like that is essential at all. We throw the word essential around in FPL quite a lot, and the Spurs defence, despite having a double, is probably as far away from essential as you're going to get at the moment.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. I feel like the free hit could be quite good fun this week. If you've still, for whatever reason, got your free hit chip in FPL, you've got the likes of Richarlison and Madueke that we've mentioned before, you know, floating around. A free hit could be quite good fun this week, no?
Yeah, absolutely. And it just depends how big your risk appetite is to go and take some of these picks, right? Because at the end of the day, you might want Richarlison, you might want Madueke, but you'll also want Anthony Gordon, you'll also want Phil Foden and maybe a few others as well. But if you're on free hit, there are definitely a lot of punts that most people won't be able to take this week.
Yeah, speaking of fun punts, and you mentioned Anthony Gordon there, who I think is not a fun punt. I think he's looking more or less nailed on, I think, for certainly my team for the double game week. But Another fun punt in that front line could be Callum Wilson, 7.8 million in FPL. Let's move it on to Burnley versus Newcastle then. A space in the first 11 for both Isak and Wilson, interestingly, from Eddie Howe. So they both get the nod. I noticed actually Joe Linton coming back from injury as well. So the treatment room at St James's is starting to empty out, which is probably a good thing for us coming into double game week 37. I've got Isak and I've got Gordon in my team. I've also got Dan Byrne. No kind of concerns from me over the Newcastle defence. Obviously, they conceded the odd one in, you know, however many they scored at the weekend. A bit of a battering, wasn't it? And they could have had more, by the way. So I was a bit disappointed not to get the six from Dan Byrne. But listen, I'm not going to transfer him out ahead of a double game week that reads Brighton at home, Manchester United away. And actually, given what we saw at Selhurst Park last night, I would argue that actually the Newcastle double game week in 37 looks possibly the best. We know how good Newcastle are at St James's, and they've got to play Brighton, who, that's a hell of a trip, isn't it, from the south coast all the way up to the northeast, and then away at Old Trafford. Anthony Gordon delivering in his first away return since game week 20, so he's continuing to impress. Alexander Isak scored and assisted against Burnley, so that's 20 goals now for him this season, despite the penalty miss, then popped up, you know, a few minutes later with the goal, which, by the way, I love to see. That's great mentality, isn't it? You know, miss the penalty, but shake it off, straight back on your feet to score a goal. Brilliant from Isak. And then, of course, Wilson, who I mentioned before, is a differential. So lots to discuss from the tune. Who have you got in your team? And if you were to go blank slate again, if we were to talk sort of free hit, who would you have?
Yeah, so I've got Isak, Gordon, and then Dan Byrne. I think the same as you. I was surprised to see Callum Wilson come back in and play from the start, partly because in the last game, he came off the bench along with Harvey Barnes, and they did a fantastic job for the last 20 minutes and just completely took the game, which was already away from their opponents, even further away. So I thought Eddie Howe might see that working and go with it again. But he sort of played a front two. We've seen it last season. I think this time last season, there was the whole Isak versus Wilson debate, and some people went one way, some people went the other, and there was a massive swing in terms of points.
Oh, I remember. Yeah, Wilson got an absolute hatful, didn't he? I remember that.
Exactly, because Isak got stuck on the wing, but we're not seeing that. We didn't see that in this game. Yeah. He played a front two with both of them there, which is why we see both of them getting the points sort of equally in this game. Both of them look great. I think Isak is probably the one that I would go with, just because they do play three games in the space of about 8 days now. And that is probably more than Callum Wilson's hamstrings are capable of holding up.
You're probably right.
As we've seen with injuries over the past season. So I would still go with Isak. But again, we've spoken about a lot of good differentials being in that midfield spot. But Wilson is one that you could take as a punt in that forward line. Now, it would probably be in expense to the defence over a Dan Byrne, which I don't think is a massive problem. You'd have to fill your defence with someone else. But going for a Gordon, an Isak, and a Wilson, if you can fit it in on a free hit or if you can fit it into your team, with the way they're scoring goals, I don't think it's a bad issue to have at all. I think they will score goals in this double. I think they've got Brentford on the final day as well, where they can continue to do well. Mm. Isak and Gordon are, for me, the top two, because I think they will start all three of the last games. I was surprised to see Callum Wilson start this one, but I still think that probably boosts him a little bit and could be a very good partner. We know what his goal scoring record is like when he gets minutes.
Yeah, well, listen, I was all set for Isak captain next week, given those fixtures, like I said before, with Brighton and Manchester United. And maybe we'll talk a bit more at the end of the podcast about captaincy for next week, or at least early thoughts on it. But like I say, all set to do Isak until I watched the highlights of Manchester City versus Wolves, and I saw Erling Haaland pop up with four goals, two penalties, of course. But listen, the fourth goal was unbelievably well taken. I almost feel like over the last few weeks, he's sort of given everybody else a chance to catch up in the golden boot, isn't he? He sort of said, you know, come on, Ollie, come on, Cole, you know, get your shooting boots on, get up to where I am at sort of 20 goals this season. And, you know, rocked up at the Etihad Stadium at the weekend, just went, nah, you know, I'm going to win this. Four goals, absolutely unbelievable. And looked upset to be coming off, did you notice? You know, didn't look that pleased with Pep when Pep hauled him off. So Isak captain for me was in my kind of bus team as I was setting it for game week 37. And then Erling does what Erling does and puts us all, you know, puts that question mark back in everyone's heads, not least mine. So for sure going to be in my team, absolutely within the captaincy conversation. Talk to me about other Manchester City assets though, Harry, because Josko Gvardiol in particular at 5.1 million, he's fast becoming the City defender of choice, isn't he? An assist against Wolves, that's his fourth attacking return in four outings, also two clean sheets during that run as well. So 38 points in his last four. Again, I feel like I've made a bit of a mistake going for Kyle Walker on my wild card when Vardiol keeps popping up in these areas and a threat from set pieces, as we saw, you know, in game week 35. So, yeah, Vardiol, Walker, Ederson, maybe. Talk to me about your other options in that Man City back line and throughout the rest of the squad.
Yeah, if you think you've made a mistake going with Kyle Walker over Gvardiol, I wonder how I feel sat here with Ederson still in my team. After all after all the years where we make this mistake with picking a Manchester City goalkeeper, and here we are again.
I was going to say, we've been here before, Harry. We know what picking Ederson leads to in FPL, right?
I know. But yeah, I look at Gvardiol's positioning and look at him playing left wing at times in these games and think he is an absolutely fantastic asset at the moment. And I cannot see, with the system and the form that he's on, how like he isn't just the best Manchester City and probably the third best Manchester City asset to go with. Now, I think Phil Foden and De Bruyne are both great picks. And one game it's Haaland that gets the points, but recently it was De Bruyne. Recently it's been Foden as well. You just have to, you know, buy enough tickets to the lottery and hope that it is your numbers that get pulled out when you're owning the Manchester City attack. I don't think just because De Bruyne blanked and Foden only got an assist here, that they are worse assets than they were this time a week ago when we all wanted to buy them going into Wolves at home. So I think Foden, De Bruyne and Haaland are all great picks, and you could probably own one of those midfielders too if you wanted to do something really exciting. But when you've got, you know, a 5 million defender getting some clean sheets, as they have done recently, getting attacking returns, winning penalties because he's camped on the edge of the box most of the game, it's very difficult to want to go for all three of those attackers when someone at 5 million is getting a similar amount of points to them at the moment. So Gvardiol is a real pain point for me. I might look to rectify it this week, because watching them, he is as good of a threat as someone like Cancelo used to be when he played at Manchester City. It's the same sort of vibe I'm getting from him. And when Cancelo was there, we all wanted him, and he was a lock in all our teams. And Gvardiol was much cheaper than he ever was, and feels like we should just be looking at him. But with 2 weeks left, it might not make sense to just jump sideways from them if you've already tripled up on Manchester City like most of them are.
Yeah, I feel like with Cancelo in seasons gone past, there was always a little bit of drama that used to be attached to Cancelo. He was always either rotated, or he was a rotation risk, or he didn't have the best injury record, did he? So I feel like Vardiol's like, he's like Cancelo without the drama.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? He's just kind of locked in on that side and a threat from set pieces, which Cancelo wasn't quite as much of a threat from set pieces. So I do like him. I agree with you on Foden. I think he's the pick to go for in midfield. But again, if you're chasing, and again, we're at that point in the season when we've got to talk about differentials, you know, all of the City midfield were showing up pretty well, right? Rodri with two assists and a non-penalty XG of 0.61. Doku in at 0.63. Bernardo Silva in at 0.7. So all of these guys, you know, we're kind of overlooking them a little bit in FPL, but all racking up the non-penalty XG. So what does that mean? That means all doing the right things to get the FPL points. If not, I mean, it was Rodri getting a couple of assists. Obviously, if you've got him in FPL, fair play. That's a nice little haul for you. But nothing for Doku, nothing for Bernardo Silva, but potentially a little bit unlucky with 0.63 and 0.7 XGI or non-penalty XGI respectively. Thoughts on those guys as potential differentials? I mean, I agree with you. I think Haaland, Foden and Gvardiol, if I was to pick the three, it'd be those three. And if I was free hitting, I think it'd be those three as well. But again, chasing in mini leagues, if you're on a free hit and your risk appetite is high, if you're already going for a Wilson, Richarlison and Madueke trifecta, why not chuck in a Doku or a Bernardo Silva?
Yeah, I just think the only one I would go with outside of the Gvardiol, Foden, Haaland trio is probably De Bruyne. Now, it's quite difficult to get some money for him, but we have seen over the past couple of games what he's capable of doing. I've just not seen consistency enough from someone like a Doku and someone like a Bernardo Silva to pick over someone like a Foden. Those feel like examples of picking differentials for just for the sake of it, not because you actually think that they are better picks or that they have the ability to score higher points than some of those others that we've mentioned. So I would just stick with the tried and tested, I feel like, at City.
Yeah, very good. All right, well, let me put you on the spot then. We've got two game weeks left of the season and I want to move to Arsenal next. Who's going to win the league, Manchester City or Arsenal? Where's your money?
Well, I think my money as a Chelsea fan is going to be on Manchester City. I do think they're going to win it. I think both teams will win all of their games between now and the end of the season. I just don't think either of them will drop points. And then that just leaves Manchester City winning the league. Do think there are a couple of games away at Fulham and away at Spurs, which naturally, if they were thrown in the middle of the season, you might look at banana skins for Manchester City. But I can't look at 3 weeks before the end of the season and see them quite the same comparing where Manchester City are playing at the moment. So I just think neither of them will drop points the way they're playing. So impressive at the moment, both sides. But yeah, as a result, I think City take it.
Yeah, they look incredible, don't they? Both teams really, really cooking. And Manchester City, we know that they've got the muscle memory, haven't they, at this stage of the season to go on and win Premier League titles.
Absolutely.
But we do have to give, you know, more than a shout out to Arsenal. I mean, that 3-0 at the weekend easily could have been more. I mean, they absolutely battered that Bournemouth goal, particularly in the first opening 45 minutes, didn't they? And it's a kind of a, it was almost a combination of kind of wastefulness. And I think, you know, the Cherries goalkeeper, the back line were really keeping them out, weren't they? So 1-0 to Arsenal at half time. And in that first 45 minutes, they had 16 shots, 5 on target and 2.2 XG. So even though it was only 1-0, they absolutely battered Bournemouth, didn't they? And if you've got Saka in your FPL team, fair play. That's a nice haul. And I don't, by the way, again, another potential mistake on my wildcard, took him out and had a straight choice as to who to bring in for this week. I did fancy going back in on the Arsenal midfield, particularly with Bruno Fernandes looking to be out. So it was a straight choice between Havertz and Saka. I went the wrong way, didn't I? I went for Havertz. I decided to play the game a little bit and go for the differential rather than the obvious one. And when I saw the result of the game, I thought, well, you know, Saka's got the penalty. So that's just lucky for his owners. He's just got the penalty. But let me tell you, I feel lucky that he could have had and probably should have had a lot more in that game. Loads of shots, loads of chances, racking up the XG. And of course, you can't moan as an FPL manager when players that you don't own get the penalties, because that's why a lot of FPL managers own these guys, right? Because of the pen. So Saka definitely going to be, I think, a hold for next week in game week 37. Havertz is a bit of a question mark for me, but the defence continues, Harry, to be absolutely elite in a season where we've struggled, haven't we? We've kind of struggled to pick FPL defenders and who's going to keep clean sheets. Very, very happy to have Raya and Gabriel in my team. And I noticed even a few FPL managers going for the treble up. And why not? Because they're so, so good defensively, Arsenal. Tell me about your picks for game week 37 then, because there will be a lot of FPL managers that look at it and go, well, listen, no double game week. And on paper, a difficult trip away to Manchester United, which again, given what we saw at Selhurst last night, maybe not so difficult. But, you know, there'll be a lot of FPL managers that go, okay, well, I'll take out Saka, or I'll take out Gabriel, or I'll take out Raya, because it's only a single and I want a double game weaker. But I would say tread carefully with that and do so at your peril, no?
Yeah, absolutely. I think this sits in the perfect camp of when we talk about, should we go all in on the doubles or should we continue to look at some of the in-form single game week players?
Yeah, yeah.
And I think Arsenal are probably the most in-form single game week team I feel like I can remember in a game week like this. So I've got double Arsenal defence and I'm very glad that I decided to hold on to both Gabriel and Ben White on wild card.
Mm.
And they're going absolutely nowhere. There is no chance I take them out, partly because it's worth remembering. You sell them this week in game week 38 when we feel, based on our predictions, that they'll still be, you know, needing to win to have a chance of winning the league, are at home to Everton on the final day. So you will want your Sakas, you will want your Gabriels, your Ben Whites, your Havertz. So to take them out this week is sacrificing them next week, or you just have to bring them straight back in again. So for me, if you've got Arsenal players, if you're on bench boost or if you're not, I would just absolutely play them. I wouldn't go selling them for many double game week players. There aren't many double game week players who I think are going to outscore these Arsenal players despite having two. Maybe look at someone like a Foden, a Palmer, a Haaland. If you don't have them, then potentially. But outside of maybe those few names, there are no double game week players, particularly in defence, right? You wouldn't be surprised if Arsenal defenders got as many points as some of those with a double this week. Just how good they are. We saw Manchester United on Monday night as well, not particularly looking great in front of goal. So yeah, I am pretty bullish that Arsenal players are as good as most of the doublers this week, and I wouldn't go getting rid of them either.
No, me neither. And I have to give a special shout out to Declan Rice. I mean, what a performance at the weekend and what a difference he's made to that Arsenal side. You've got to love it when you see players like Declan Rice in the 96th, 97th minute.
Yeah.
It was like the game's done, right? It's 2-0, they're at home, just waiting for the whistle. But not Declan Rice. He's busting a gut to get up there on the end of that ball to score his goal. And he thoroughly, thoroughly deserved it. So, you know, a goal and an assist for him at the weekend. He's only 5.5 in FPL. So again, if you're looking for a more budget route into that Arsenal midfield, maybe he's the one to go for. I feel like I'm getting myself more and more excited about a free hit in 37. I don't have one, but I don't have the chip left. But if you do have it left, I mean, there's some brilliant differentials. And I think Rice
absolutely
probably fits into that category, right? A non-penalty XGI, so in goal involvement of 0.55. So that tells you that actually it wasn't just a fluke, right? He was there doing all of the right things to get that goal and assist. And ever since Thomas Partey's come back into that midfield, it's kind of freed Declan Rice to go and be more of an advanced eight. He takes a few corners as well. So listen, we're all looking at the Sakas and we're all looking at the defence. Of course we are, for good reason. I almost wish like we could have more than three Arsenal slots for the remainder of the season. I felt that way for most of the season, quite frankly. But at 5.5, Declan Rice, worth a shout, do you think? Or are we kind of, you know, we've got to stick with our defenders and with Saka?
I think I'm probably going to stick with our defenders and Saka. But Declan Rice is one of those players that, you know, when you see the team lineup comes out, he's lined up as a defensive midfielder and you think, right, we're going to go with a Saka playing on the wing, Havertz playing up front. But yeah. Declan Rice has been one of those players that's just continually been so involved for them going forward that at such a cheap price, he's got to be in with a shout. When you're 2 weeks before the end of the season, it's probably not a punt that I'd take. He's in and around a similar price as someone like Noni Madueke, who we spoke about earlier. So I'm probably not going to go recommending Declan Rice, but maybe to my detriment, I haven't looked at him enough this season when he's been so cheap and he's scoring so many points as he has done. So yeah, if we had more than three Arsenal spots, then I would own 4 or 5 at the moment. And in Fantasy Challenge, that's what I do most weeks. But at the moment, I'm stuck with my double Arsenal defense and Saka and wishing I could own a few more.
Oh, I see all these differentials. I can't tempt you, can I, Harry? You're not going for any of them. Spoken like a true manager who's protecting his rank in the upper echelons of FPL, no doubt about it. Let's finish up on Palace versus United then, which we saw last night on Monday night. Well, listen, what a performance from Crystal Palace. Glasner has got them cooking, isn't he? And there's absolutely no question that they're on the beach, they've got the flip-flops on or anything like that. They are playing for their place in that side next season. Two goals for Michael Olise means that he's produced double-figure hauls in each of his last four home starts, by the way, totaling 59 points. So what a record he's got in recent times for Crystal Palace. If you own Mateta, come up with another goal. I mean, he seems to be just ticking over brilliantly at the moment, Mateta. And also Daniel Munoz, who a lot of us had on our free hit. I certainly did a few weeks ago. Picked up a clean sheet, 2 assists, and therefore got a share of the bonus points for a 13-point haul, which is his best ever in fantasy, by the way. So yeah, Crystal Palace. I don't think I'm going to be going there for the rest of the season because of no double game week. But, you know, starting to think about what next season might look like. And Olise, Eze, Munoz, Mateta, all of these guys are on radar, you know. Or was it a case of, you know, Manchester United without Bruno Fernandes just not good enough, Harry, were they really? Not good enough and lacked a lot of leadership on the pitch. How did you, what did you think of the game?
Yeah, I think Manchester United definitely lacked some of their usual guile that they get when someone like a Bruno Fernandes, some of their centre-backs are fit and available. But I don't want to take away from quite how good Crystal Palace were in game. That front three, when they're fully fit, we thought, oh yeah, when Olise and Eze are back, they'll look good. But I didn't quite expect them to look as good as they have. That front three of Olise, Eze, Mateta is firing on all cylinders that not many defences in the Premier League, if not in world football, would struggle to contain at the moment. So they are similar to me to someone like an Arsenal, that if you've got them going away to Wolves as part of your bench boost this week, I'm not sure I'd be going and selling them. I'm not sure there's many upgrades there. When you've got them scoring 4 goals, yes, they're away from home and their away form is not quite as good as their home form, but Olise, Eze and Mateta just look like they want to finish the season by having a lot of fun and scoring as many goals as they can. And as you say, Munoz in defence was one that a lot of people went with in game week 34, picked up 2 assists and the clean sheet as well. So yeah, I mean, Manchester United were definitely not at the races and it wasn't helped by Bruno Fernandes' injury, but Crystal Palace were absolutely fantastic in this game.
Yeah, so, so good. I think they, like I said before, definitely lacked some leadership without Bruno. And he's worthy of conversation, isn't he? Because certainly a lot of FPL managers will have bought Bruno Fernandes in on their wild card if they played it in 35. Great form up until game week 35. Great form full stop, actually, over recent times. But seems to have picked up a bit of an injury. So we've got to keep an eye on Erik ten Hag's press conferences to see whether he's going to be fit and available for double game week 37. Two home games as well, and obviously difficult looking ones as well. Home to Arsenal and then home to Newcastle. You can see why a lot of FPL managers, given it's a double game week, given they're both at Old Trafford, you can see why FPL managers would go for Bruno, would go for Dalot. I went for Maguire, who, by the way, is now out for the remainder of the season, according to reports. So I've got to think about doing something about him coming into game week 37, which is a week in which I want to play my bench boost. So that's definitely a very ill-timed injury for Harry Maguire. Who have you got from Manchester United in your team? And are there any differentials that you'd go for? Or is it kind of Bruno or bust from a Manchester United perspective? Because not exactly in great form as a team, are they? And they sort of, certainly last night, looked as if they're looking forward to the season ending.
Yeah, so I've got Dalot and Bruno Fernandes in my team for my wild card. And I think the only transfer I can think about making this week that involves Manchester United would be selling them before the double, let alone buying any more. I think Garnacho can always be a nice differential because most people are looking at Bruno over him. He's nice and cheap. He does have the double and he has shown some really good form this season. But outside of that, I do find it hard to find players to recommend when they do put up a performance that looks like this. I've got Dalot is the big one for me. Fernandes is fit and available. I will hold him for the double. And I think that's the sensible thing to do. If he's ruled out, then I have to find someone to replace him. And we've spoken about a few midfielders that could potentially be that. But Dalot is the one that's really concerning because Arsenal at home and Newcastle at home, the way those two teams are scoring goals, I don't expect a clean sheet at all in either of those games. Yeah. And let alone do I not expect a clean sheet. I expect them to concede two goals at least in both of those games, which would leave him on, you know, 1 point in each match before any potential attacking returns that he gets. So despite having the double, I am looking at Dalot and the defenders and thinking I'm a little bit concerned. If there are no centre-backs back and they're playing, you know, Evans, they're playing Casemiro in at centre-back, which didn't look at it at all last night, I might look at selling Diego Dalot despite the fact that he has a double this week.
Yeah, crazy, right? It's crazy. But I think I'm with you. And I think, like you say, those defensive injuries, particularly at centre-half, means that if anything, I'm looking at those that are playing Manchester United and kind of going, well, I'd fancy them for captaincy. Let's finish up on that then in terms of your team for game week 37 in terms of transfers and captaincy. You've sort of alluded to the fact that you might think about ditching Dalot despite the double game week. Thoughts elsewhere? Anything else you want to do with your team, or are you pretty well set? And who are you thinking for captaincy?
Yeah, so the three players that I look at that could see my transfer. So I've got two free transfers and I'm on bench boost this week. So
nice.
Bruno Fernandes is the first one. If he's unavailable, then it will probably be Nonny Madueke that comes in for him. But
oh,
I am
nice.
Expecting Bruno.
Oh, there we go. So I can tempt you with a little differential. Madueke, like that.
A Chelsea differential. What's not to love, eh?
What's not to like?
Exactly. But I am expecting Bruno to be back at the moment. He doesn't miss many games. So to see him out for one game was a surprise, let alone missing two on the bounce. So if he does end up being back, I don't know if it's a bit sideways, but I'm looking at selling both Edison and Dalot to buy Petrovic of Chelsea and Gvardiol. Feel like Petrovic is the safest way into that Chelsea defence. I'm not loving Edison at all. And I look at Gvardiol every single week and I'm just concerned about his positioning and how many points he could score over the last three games. So it feels a little bit sideways that I'm moving one Manchester City for another and I'm doing Dalot to Petrovic basically. But I think those transfers are both upgrades and the captaincy armband was on Haaland. And after he scored four goals, it's just even more locked on Haaland. How about you?
Yeah, I think I'm going to be the same. I'm currently looking at my team in front of me and it has got the armband on Haaland. But the vice captaincy is very much on Isak. So it's between those two for me. I just think those fixtures for Newcastle and the way that they're playing right now looks so, so good, doesn't it? But listen, City have got the ultimate prize to play for. I'm in a similar position to you, so I am going to be bench boosting as well this week. And my bench boost has got a lot of my single game week players on it, sort of my Arsenal players. I've got Raya, Havertz and Gabriel all on my bench boost. And currently, Ollie Watkins. So I'm going to see how he gets on and how Villa get on against Olympiakos in that second leg. I get the feeling, you know, Liverpool going to Villa Park is probably the last thing that they want after two very, you know, physically and emotionally challenging games in Europe. So, listen, I made that mistake a few weeks ago, didn't I? I mentioned it before on the pod about not getting Jackson. Watkins to Jackson, very much on radar for me. But then I still have the problem of Harry Maguire at the back, who, you know, is absolutely, you know, the reports are he's out for the rest of the season. So if I want to maximise my bench boost, probably going to have to do a -4 and bring somebody in at the back. I don't know who that's going to be. I currently can't get to Gusto because I've got Palmer, Petrovic, and then I would have Jackson in place for Watkins. So I can't have any more than three. So it's going to have to be somebody other than Gusto. And I haven't put too much thought into it right now because I want to see how Watkins gets on and see, you know, how the fitness and the rest of my team and how they look. But at the moment, that's my team. I've got 11 double game weekers, so I'm pretty happy with that. And then my bench boost is full of single game weekers. But as we mentioned before, most of them are Arsenal players, and I'm pretty happy to have them, given that they've got that fixture against Manchester United. And then captaincy, like I say, it's between the two up front. I can't pick at the moment between Haaland and Isak. Like I say, I was all set for Isak. And then, four goals for Haaland, and you're just like, you know, he's almost like, how dare you go against me with the captaincy for the double game week. So it's going to be between those two, and I'll make my decision later in the week.
It will be on Haaland by Saturday morning. I can feel
you're
it.
Probably
I
right.
I can feel it. The fear will get you of what he is capable of doing,
yes,
particularly when he's chasing the golden boot and chasing the league. But we will see. I do like Isaac as a differential, but he's just going to have to stay as that for me, I think. Perfect. So this is the final double game week of the season is up next. Game week 37 is likely to be pivotal. It's going to be the last real big opportunity we have to go and chase mini leagues, chase ranks. And a lot of you listening will be playing your chips this week, whether it's a bench boost like Lee and I, or whether it's a triple captain or something else as well.
Yeah, loads of differentials we've talked about on this podcast, Harry. Madueke and Richarlison and all sorts, right? So I'm excited for those that have got the free hit chip still to play. Loving that. Thanks everyone for joining us for Off the Bench this season. Don't forget to join Kelly, Jules and Sam on the FPL pod this week as they preview the double game week and talk through all the key talking points, including how many double game weekers to target.
If you haven't already joined the FPL Pod League after 36 weeks, you still have a couple of weeks to go and do so. The code is IB3WLK. Have a great end of the season, everyone.
Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Harry.